Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Angels. How are you? It's 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. And I know Di's out there, so I'm going to have to go three-way on. We have a couple problems here. I just couldn't connect myself. So we've got me here, but I'm going to go get her on the phone, and then we're going to talk about some really cool stuff today. Five things that really sabotage your relationship. And, let me just go get Di. Okay, so you guys hold on, hang tight, and I'll be right back. Okay, you guys, I'm not sure where she's at, but, you know, I've been doing this work for quite a while, and actually, Di in our book, there's a law that says he has to be attracted to me. A psychic and a humorist explain metaphysics by both Diane Bucci and Tari Abbott. We go over this in our book, too, as well. So there are five attitudes, there's five behaviors, five characteristics, whatever you want to say, that really, really sabotage your relationship. And, you know, most people will say different things, but I'm going to ask you guys a question that are listening in today, will download it later. What do you think five characteristics, five things, five behaviors that will sabotage your relationship? Some of you guys are going to say communication, right? No, that's a good one. All right. Or maybe another popular one is respect. And I agree with that too as well. But usually, they're important. I think they're super important. You don't have those, you don't have a relationship commitment. And somebody just texted me, said commitment. I'm going to say this really quickly. Diane, if you're listening in, I need you to call me on the phone, on my cell phone. So what are five attitudes that you have that cause a problem with a relationship and can destroy it, or make you so angry that you just end it, or destroys the fabric where there's absolutely no fun in a relationship, you're just coexisting? I think one of them is jealousy, right? How hard is it to... You're gone, yay. Hold on, guys.
Yeah, bye. I've been on hold. I've been in the host queue.
Okay, no. I couldn't get through on the thing, so I apologize. Anyway, I was just going over the five behaviors or the five characteristics. I'm not even sure how you would say it. And you and I wrote about them in our book, but we're just covering jealousy. I think jealousy can destroy a relationship, to the point where you don't even know it's happening, really, because some people think, oh, he really cares about me, wants to know where I'm at, or he wants to know who I'm talking to, or she wants to know where I'm at, or she wants to know who I'm talking to. But I don't think it's so much that kind of thing, right? Although it may look like that. How do you feel about jealousy? I mean, and it's cool to feel jealous sometimes, and sometimes even a healthy. If you didn't sit a tad bit of envious of someone else's accomplishments or relationship, you wouldn't have much motivation to accomplish anything ourselves. By the way, that's the first one. And
that's true. Yeah, true enough.
Yeah. So have you ever had an issue with jealousy? I know I have a lot of clients that do. They're characters.
Well, I don't think I have, personal issues with jealousy. But, I mean, we all feel jealous, and I do think it's healthy. You know, if you don't ever feel jealous, like if someone's looking at your partner or trying to flirt with your partner or whatever, then you probably don't really care that much about them. I mean, I know there's some people that say they just absolutely never get jealous, but I think jealousy is just kind of a normal human emotion, it's a protective emotion. It's like you want to protect what's yours, but jealousy, I agree with the workplace. It kind of fuels healthy competition, I mean, jealousy can be used for some good ways, but yeah, overly jealous people obviously ruin a lot of their relationships, and that's what we're talking about is with the people who have an issue with jealousy and they're pushing their partner away because of their own jealousy, and that's kind of one of the, we're talking about the bad form of jealousy, right?
Yeah, there you go. I think healthy competition is normal. Okay, you know what I mean?
Right.
I was talking to someone was it a couple of days ago, we were talking about doing a triathlon, right? And I'm like, man, this person is so much better than me because I've never done it, right? You know, after I did a Pikes Peak run or a marathon, you know, that if that doesn't kill me, right? I'm going to do it. I'm training for it. So, you know, and then I go, wait a minute, you know what? It's just important that you try. It doesn't really matter how good you are. And, you know, because I recognize that. So jealousy's cool with healthy competition. I'm not going to even say it like, you know, to that, to the point where it's just healthy competition. Jealousy in a relationship can be overwhelming. People think it's so sweet and so wonderful that my wife wants to know where I'm at all the time, right? She wants to check in on me. And, you know, we've seen those Lifetime movies, right? I know I have, you know, where jealousy, the guy's like, oh, my gosh, she really cares about me. Sometimes we make the mistake of caring about someone the more they're in our space or more they're, you know, looking good and kissing us and wanting to know where we are or, you know, or who we're talking to. We think that's sweet that they care about us. But you got to look at that. Okay, are they caring about us, right? Or are they so insecure that you wouldn't stay with them that they're just checking out your every move? So you have control there, you know, that you're looking at. You also have jealousy, right? Control issues and jealousy issues. Mm-hmm. So how do you know the difference? I mean, how do you distinguish the difference between the two? Well, I think, first of all, you got to look at that person before you even start to date them. Somebody told me something, I guess, they said to me, you know what? I don't want someone to join my life. They like my life. It looks good. And they think it's amazing and they want to come in and be a part of it without having their own life and being active, you know, being contributing if that's, you know, because I like to contribute, you do too as well, contribution, being active, traveling, whatever it is, and come in my life so that I can provide them with that life, okay, or vice versa, she can provide him with that life. So I think you need to look at that person and see how happy they are within themselves in their own life before you say, okay, that's just a cool thing. She's letting me know, he's letting me know that they care about me and just checking in, right? Your thoughts on that? Do you feel, you know, that's a thing in a relationship? Because when you do the other thing, it can get wearing. It can turn people off. I know I've had that. They turn me off when they're, like, checking in on me. I feel, because I like a lot of freedom in my relationship. Yeah, I know you do as well. So what are your thoughts about that? You know, jealousy?
Yeah, I guess I'm confused at the question. Was, do you mean the difference between jealousy and control?
Is there really a difference between that? When you're controlling someone, you know, with their every move, or you're wanting to know their every move, that is control. That is also a form of jealousy, I think. I think it's one and the same, very similar. Okay, do you know what
I
mean?
Agree.
Okay.
Totally.
Yeah, and I've seen people think it's so sweet, and I was in a relationship years ago where the guy, I thought it was so sweet that he was really connected to me and wanted to know where I was and called me all the time. But then I realized that it wasn't. It was like a form of control, really jealous, you know, and it was a way for him to keep tabs on me. Like, you know, when that lasted maybe all of 2 or 3 months, you know, and then I was gone. So I think jealousy is a big one. I also, you and I talk about it in our book, it's one of the, you know, five or six things that people come here to learn in their soul agreement is learn about loving themselves enough not to say, this person has to give this to me to make me happy. I don't like them talking to anybody else, like we're just talking about our control issues. And so when you know what you're here to learn, you know, what your soul's lessons are, one of the big ones that we see, and Diane and I wrote our book about, is jealousy is a big factor in a love relationship. It can be that way in job, it can be that way in business, and it can also be that way with friendship. But keeping it between relationships now, I think jealousy is a huge thing that can really destroy the fabric of it, more so than communication, respect, because if you have jealousy, you don't have either one of those things, you know, too, as well. So, you know.
Jealousy obviously is an issue sometimes for both partners, and it's something that you're kind of working through with each other, and, you know, depending on how big of an issue it is, you definitely jump into the controlling, you know, controlling your every move kind of a thing, which isn't healthy. But, yeah, it's definitely, John's over here saying it's caused by a lack of trust. It's totally the lack of trust, but yeah, it's within you. It's within you. It's the lack of self-confidence sometimes because, you know, we've all dated people who drove us crazy with their jealous accusations when we really weren't doing anything and it was just their self-esteem issue. So that's the first thing that you have to look at is it your issue or are they really doing stuff that you should be jealous of? Because that's a problem with a lot of people. You know, they don't have any trust in their partner, but it's not because their partner's not trustworthy. It's because they just don't trust anybody. They feel inadequate and they've been, you know, maybe experienced, they've been cheated on or whatever. So they're always overly jealous for no reason. And that's when it really starts disrupting the relationship because their partner, it's not fair to them, you know, and they're going to get tired of it really quickly.
You're so right on about that. And, you know, I get people that call me and they're going, you know, he thinks about his girlfriend all the time. I wonder if he imagines me, you know, her, when we're in bed, does he think about her? Or vice versa, does he think about him? Who was she with in the past? Mm-hmm. And then you spend all this time getting super jealous about somebody that is not even a part of their life any longer. Mm-hmm. They're gone. You know, and there are times that doesn't apply. But let's say for what we're talking about today, you get super jealous of a man or a woman that your partner used to be with or date or marry mm-hmm. or whoever. Not cool, okay, because that keeps you from getting close to him or her or vice versa. So what do you do if you're jealous, if jealousy is an issue here? First of all, you recognize it. Second of all, you ask your angels to help you. Yeah, and I'm going to just put one out there. Archangel Michael is great for helping with jealousy, you know, and Jesus is great for creating miracles. So,
right.
Yeah, right. A miracle. But, yeah, so miracles are good. But, you know, your future, well, you guys are living together now. You and John are together, and he said something so key. He goes, trust. It's all about trust. Because mm-hmm. when love is an animal that you can beat around, but trust is not. It will you destroy that trust with your jealous behavior. You know, usually that person is gone or leaving soon. So mm-hmm. that's one thing there. Michael, Jesus, I think are real key in helping you, God, whatever, your higher self. And I don't want to spend a great deal more time on it because we've got a few more to cover. But you guys, I think jealousy is one of the hardest ones to discern because we've always been like that on some level a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And to try to correct that or to change that, we've got to recognize it, go inside of ourselves, not outside about what he or she's doing, what my job is doing or whatever, mm-hmm. go inside. And that's sometimes hard to do with jealousy. Yeah, I know. I know you've dealt with people being jealous of you, Di, because I remember. I was like, he's jealous of you, Di. That's it. Di is so, she's so unaware of that because she's just not like that herself. You think?
I'm not. No, I'm not jealous. No.
Yeah. Meanwhile, back at the farm, it's all good. Okay, here's another one. I think that destroys a relationship, and it's in victimhood. What do you think about? Everyone loves a victim, right?
Oh. Well, I know, and we all have many victims in our lives.
Yeah.
We all have a victim. Yes, exactly. That totally, definitely is one of our top relationship sabotagers, you know, the victim, because they're always put upon. It's never their fault. You know, they don't believe that they did anything to contribute to any wrong. And you know, I've been with victims before. You've been with a victim before. And it's just so frustrating for their partner because that person is never going to take ownership, ever. You know, they can walk all over you, and they're not going to take ownership for it because they are a victim. You know, it was not their fault that they're an asshole. So it's just very, very difficult for victims to have good relationships because they never see that there's two sides of it. You know, they don't realize they are contributing 50% of whatever is going on with the problems. And so that is horrible. So if you're a victim, you know, and we list questions to ask yourself in our book, you know, do you always feel, you know, somebody else got the you know, better deal, and you always feel like you're the one who has to, you know, get put upon all the time. I mean, if you really feel like, you know, you are the martyr, then you suffer from victimhood. And other people probably notice it even if you don't.
Yeah. Let me tell you some of the questions because I'm looking at them right now. My parents screwed me over. My ex-boyfriend screwed me over. My ex-girlfriend ruined me. My boss.
I screwed them over. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my
life in general. Yeah.
Yeah,
screwed them. It's like a variety of people, but just life in general has screwed them over.
That's very true. I like this one. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? Because life it's a good one.
You know,
yeah.
I've heard that before so many times.
Yeah.
Then make yourself bend over and tie your shoe on, and then it won't drop.
Use Elmer's glue to screw that sucker on. Anyway, yeah, it's funny. I see a lot of women that actually they call me. I have one call me. My ex did this to me, and she goes, "Now I got this new guy." I go, "Let me get this straight. You're telling the new guy what all your ex did?" She goes, "Well, yeah, I told him," and he says he wasn't like that. And it sounds wonderful, okay, when you're telling this new guy or new woman all you've been screwed over with. But meanwhile, back at the farm, this is going to get old because you don't know how to step out of realizing that you co-created this whole thing to heal yourself or whatever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the best story I ever heard, a friend of mine, and she said she was sexually abused when she was a child by her godfather. And she said, "I prayed and I asked God to help me understand why at 7 she was praying. And he erased her memory or put that in the burner where she didn't really remember it until much later when she could understand her soul agreement and why she was here." And she said, this soul that abused her here, and this is from her, I'm just relating the story, said that that they had made agreement to show her the law of forgiveness and unconditional love for herself. And so she learned to forgive. And he taught her to love herself no matter what, you know what I mean? And that's the way she chose to learn it. She goes, "But I went back in the soul agreement when I was there with my angels and saw this. This is a girl that at 6 had been sexually abused." So but she did not see herself as a victim. She saw herself as someone that learned unconditional love, and this is the way these two souls chose to learn it. So when you get the idea, and people are like, "I can feel him now, not liking this," hey, this is her belief. And I personally believe the same thing. We choose everything we experience. So there's no victims here. Tomorrow, though, when I'm running with my trainer, I'm going to think I'm a victim myself. I'm a victim here. That's always what I tell them.
That's right. We all are victims.
There you go. Exactly. So a victim. Yeah. So how do you get over it? You just realize that you co-create everything you experience. Law of attraction, really study that. I mean, I could sit there and say this mantra, but, some of you guys are sitting there, how can someone suffer child abuse? And listen, we are all here learning our lessons the way we choose to. That's how she should learn them. Okay, so you can always go inside and figure out what you're here to learn. And by the way, this is an important one too, because I just got it. You're saying, "Well, God made this happen to me." God doesn't do anything that you do not choose yourself. Okay, and I really believe that. Okay, so you're sitting there in the church being pious and holy and saying that maybe you're I'm on my soapbox a little bit. Maybe you're saying that this is happening to me because I'm supposed to, and God will give me riches when I get to heaven, but God did this to me. God did not do anything to you. You did it to yourself, really. Okay, how do you feel about that, Ty?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good deal. Guys, might listening to me. You had a good look
at
me.
I am.
You did it for yourself,
I know.
you got a great looking guy there in front of you. It's all good. Okay, what's another one that we talked about? You and I laughed about this one. Do you remember entitlement? Being entitled?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about that?
Oh, my gosh. Entitlement. We all have people like this in our lives. That's one of those things where we also ask questions, and I should grab our book to look at the questions, but when you feel like there's always a reason why you deserve the most, there's always a reason why you should get the most, or there's some reason why, you should get extra special treatment, because you're so, you work hard, or there's something that happened to you that didn't happen to anybody else, or whatever. But there's that sense of entitlement that you're entitled to things that other people are not. It's really difficult to deal with if you are somebody's romantic partner. because they're always going to feel like you need to be catering to them, because entitlement is kind of a pervasive thing that goes across the board. You know, it's not, they're not just feeling entitled at work or entitled with their family or with an inheritance or whatever it is that they're, you know, feeling entitled about, but it's always, they feel like they should get better treatment than everybody else does. And people who feel entitled, that's the hardest one for them to identify in themselves, you know, because they really believe that they deserve more. And
that's right.
you can argue with them till they're blue in the face, but they really believe that there's something about them or something that they've done or something that happened to them that makes them deserve to be treated a little bit better or a little bit, you know, more fair than everybody else gets treated. And that is very difficult for their partner. Because
that's
after
true.
A while, their partner just feels like, I am here to serve them in their eyes, you know. And they will lose them. I mean, I've seen someone who I love very, very much, it's a female, and she suffers from the greatest sense of entitlement I have ever seen anybody. And her husband was not faithful to her for years because he couldn't deal with it. I mean, she treated him like he was a servant. And it's unfortunate. You see people, they destroy their own lives with that of entitlement.
Yeah,
they don't understand that they're pushing people away because they're acting like, you know, I deserve for you to kiss my ass, but I'm not going to kiss yours. And that was, that was kind of the way she treated him. So it's very sad to see relationships like that it ruins them. But it does. It happens. So if you suffer from entitlement, you know, you need to sit there and go, okay, do I think that I deserve more than everybody else? You know, is there always a situation where I think that I should get the lion's share and I'm always justifying it? Because you can always justify, you know. So
yeah, you,
that,
you really can.
Yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, yeah, everybody can think of a way to justify it. Yeah, yeah.
Listen, I love these questions that we ask. Because I have a copy of her book. It's in front of me, which is unusual. Di is always the organized one here, so it's all good. But people, she and I read this. We said that people with entitlement are usually having a constant feeling of lack. They don't have enough.
Mm-hmm.
They are not enough. And everything. And they're a victim. Okay, that once again,
mm-hmm.
to... one of some of the questions we asked, he shouldn't have gotten that. Are you fond of saying, or do you say these things? She didn't deserve that. And this, in
mm-hmm.
saying them, also includes saying them out loud or saying them in your head, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. That's something they always say. He didn't deserve that, or she didn't deserve that. It's always looking. They're always looking at other people and saying he didn't deserve to get this, but he shouldn't have gotten that, because what they're saying is I should have gotten it all, you know. So they're always looking at other people. He didn't deserve that job promotion. She didn't deserve to get that, you know, handed down to her, you know, from grandma or whatever. I mean, there's always some reason.
Yeah. He got the family jewels and I got nothing. He stole it. Sense of entitlement.
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this one. This is really good. I'm not saying you're an ass, but everybody else is probably saying you're one. That's a good one. So, you know. Okay, then the next one we have is anger. I think anger will destroy a relationship bigger than anything. And have you ever walked into a room I had this experience myself. I walked in somewhere and I felt the sense of someone saying, you know, the guy that was in front of me was talking to me, and I could feel such an anger there, although he wasn't saying it. I was like, that anger has been there for a long time. He's super attractive, not attracted
mm-hmm.
to because of the anger issues, because you could feel them. Sometimes, you know, we can feel them when we talk to a
mm-hmm.
person.
Oh,
and, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and then they lash out at you and you're like that for no reason. But a lot of times that anger's been there for a long, long time, old feelings of anger. So I know you've dealt with that yourself, and it's one of the strongest negative emotions, you know. So, and it's so opposite of the positive thought. There's a book called Power Versus Force, and it says one positive thought will erase 10,000 negative energy thoughts.
Wow.
Okay, so I thought that was good.
And then you want to think positive thoughts.
Yeah,
right? Like that. Was that like a Greg Braden book or something?
You're funny. I like that. No, that's our book. We need to get back and read it.
One positive thought. Yeah, we were smart.
How do you get to the anger? And really, the feelings of anger have usually gone back. I think you and I talked about this before. All our emotions and everything and our characteristics are formed by the age of 8 to 10, and you know, our emotional programming. And there's about 10% that stops at 18, and then we have about another 10% that we can work with to change. So if you're feeling anger at the littlest thing, something that you know that blows up in your face, trace it back. Trace the last three partners and see what you were feeling with them. Okay? Then go back further, because you're going to find that it probably started as a child, the stuff that makes you pissed off. And then you can put it up to the heavens, put it up to God, the angels, and ask for healing. You know? So
when we say anger, I think there's a tendency for people to automatically jump to that perception of someone who's an angry person, like on the outside. You can be angry on the inside, which I was for a long time, you know. And I mean, I've also dated someone who had the anger issue on the outside, where it was very apparent to everyone that this person was angry. But I've had my own simmering anger, you know, where I was dealing with my silently unexpressed anger, and that eats you up. That eats you up, and it does destroy the relationship. But it's more of a sinister kind of an anger, because you don't see it. Like, my partner didn't see my anger, but it was underneath me, you know, and it was boiling, and it would affect the relationship. So you really have to internalize and say, am I angry? You know, I may not be showing outward anger, but if I'm really angry about something, yeah, it's probably nothing to do with my current partner. I mean, when you start saying, and something that you taught me is to always step back and ask yourself, where have I felt this before?
Right.
And you always have felt that feeling somewhere before. And it may be somewhere way back from your past. It may be childhood. It may be, you know, your first boyfriend. Or it may be something so old. And so you're really reacting to that old feeling with that old partner or that old parent, whoever it was that made you have that feeling. And you haven't resolved it yet. So you're reacting to that, and unfortunately for your current partner, they're the recipient of your old anger, and that's not healthy. So so anger doesn't always mean it's outward anger, you know, although outwardly angry people are horrible, you know, they're kind of tired.
At least you know where they're coming from, you know.
Well, that's true. At least you know where they're coming from. You know they're angry. And stay out of their way.
Well, you talk about a good one. Passive aggressive. Dice got a book out. Facebook's the most passive aggressive tool out there. I love that. The passive aggressive is one of the worst forms of anger, because it's like it catches you in the gut sometimes with these people. And I agree with you. But anger is the big one. If you're angry at your partner, as I say, go back to partners. And you go, someone told me this, I've only had one husband. Kudos to you. Maybe you're pissed off that you've not had more lovers. That's what I told her.
Right.
She's adopted,
that's true.
She said.
She's all proud. Yeah, she's better than us.
Not proud.
Too, but
you are too funny. Yeah, we're on the prowl, right? No, she's Ty's got a great relationship, and you know, I've got someone who's important to me myself. But the thing about it is that with the anger, when I told her that, this is so funny, she stopped. I was like, damn, did I go too far? Or darn, did I go too far? And she goes, you know what? You may be right. And she goes, and then she started telling me all about her stuff with her husband that he's never done and that other people have and she doesn't, right? And she have, does she have a jealousy Probably, but does she have, you know, does she have some real legitimate things there? Yes, she does. So it became something about anger, and then when, you know, she was realizing, she's realized what she's missed out on in certain aspects of her relationship, but also some great things that have come out of that relationship, too, as well. So we've been working on it, and she's a character, but it's only had one husband. I think that's so cool. Anyway,
yeah,
as long as you be happy, you know what I mean, have fun.
I know, that's what I mean, exactly. You don't have to have another husband. I mean, has she had any relationships, you know, or just, and when she says I've only had one husband, is that like I've only had one relationship?
She's only had one lover, Joy.
So like I'm religiously, you know, pious and.
Well, yeah, she's only had one lover. And she grew up in the deep south, you know, so there's a lot of stuff there that she's angry about. And, you know.
Yeah, I would be too.
Yeah, you still be stewing about it. Me too, I have to tell you.
Me too.
You know. You know.
Only one lover, you'd be really pissed.
Yeah, it has to be a good one. Right? So, to yeah. You know, I'm going to be quiet. Anyway, so, which brings me to the next thing that can destroy a relationship is selfishness. Okay.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I know you've really had a lot to say about that. You've had a lot to say in your other books, and so tell us about what you feel about selfishness. So I'd like to hear.
You know, and selfishness is one of those things too that, and it's not always apparent. You know, somebody can appear to be unselfish while they're really, and that's a very passive aggressive, you know, behavior, while they're really doing what they want, but paying lip service to you, you know. So there can be the outward appearance of selfishness. There can also be the passive aggressiveness where, you know, the person's standing there telling you, oh, no, I want us to do this or that, but they're going to go do whatever they damn well please, you know, regardless of what they've told you. So that is very selfish. But the outward obvious selfishness is, you know, somebody who has to have their way all the time. And it's like you're dealing with a kindergartner, and you start feeling like, okay, there's no compromising with this person because it always has to be their way. And you'll distance yourself. And so selfish people, when you feel like you always have to have the decision that you want and you can't compromise, you'll end up pushing your partner away because they never feel like their feelings are being taken into consideration too. So it really hurts you, you know, when you're selfish. You may think you're getting the whole pie, but you're going to end up eating the whole pie by yourself.
There you go. Unless it's Oreo cake, that's not good.
And then you want the Oreo cake.
Yes. There you go. But, you know, I'm going to go back to this lady that I just, you know, been talking to and working with, and she's such a sweet soul, and I think her husband is as well. But she's one of the, as we're talking, right, and you listen to people and you realize she's got such a beautiful love for her, you know, for God, and she developed that in church, you know, so, you know, I thought she was pious and listening to me, but she's just got a beautiful love for God. She goes, he's helped me get through this. And you know, we're talking about choosing things and you know, we choose everything. And she's not quite sure about that because she's in a Christian faith. And she goes, I'm going to believe that. She goes, I've tried, and then she has become more trusting with me and opened up. She goes, I've tried to do things with my husband and give him oral sex, and he doesn't even want to try that. And I said, let me get this. You're doing this to him, and he doesn't want to do it to you? She goes, no. I try to do it to him. He doesn't want to have any part of it. He thinks it's wrong. I was like, wow.
He thinks it's, oh, wow.
Yeah. You know,
that's
so, yeah, and she goes, is he being selfish? Do you think someone like that is being selfish? Or is
I think that is his religious belief. You couldn't say that it's selfish, but I think she's with somebody who's really uptight and she's not going to be happy with him.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a tough one.
I appreciate people's religious views, and if they really are that strict on you know, different components of sex, if they absolutely believe, you know, this is wrong, then that's fine, but they need to be with somebody from the same church who also believes it's wrong, because I don't think it's being selfish if they really believe they're going to go to hell if they have oral sex, but I believe that she's with the wrong partner.
There you go. Well, it is illegal in the state of North Carolina, just for you. FYI. Okay. We were touched about that a few days ago, meet a bunch of friends. And some certain states it is illegal, but that's been on the books for a couple hundred years, I guess. But we talked about it, and she went back home, and she says, started talking to my husband, and this has been a series of conversations, and got our minister involved, too, as well. And now they're realizing that it's some real issues with him when he was growing up with someone that had hurt him. So,
oh, yeah.
It's not a religion sometimes. Sometimes we hide behind religion,
right,
or we hide behind school, or we hide behind something,
right.
But, it's such a sweet, sweet uncovering, because she's an amazing person I'm learning so much from, and she's learning from me as well, and it's neat to see the metaphysic and the religious Christian things come together, here,
mm-hmm,
in her. But her husband, finally, after years of keeping this stifled and inside, he's able to talk about it and get some help. So what looks like selfishness and entitlement and her being angry really came from such a different place. Does that normally happen in life? I don't know. But what a sweet gift that she's giving him and he's giving her. So who knows? Maybe they'll just be two sexual wonderful people enjoying sex together and going to church together and going to the movie. It's all good. But I thought I'd share that with you guys. That's cool. But you have something to say.
And that's not coming from selfishness, but that's not even coming from church. That's coming from sexual abuse,
Yeah.
So that's definitely something that, he needs to get help with for himself, But that obviously will also help their relationship. And I'm sure there's a lot of situations out there where the person is a certain way, whether it's selfishness or anger or whatever, because of some kind of abuse, But I guess our point always is, okay, if you're an adult, then you need to start owning that and saying, maybe something happened to me when I was little, but now I'm going to not let that keep me down, and I'm not going to let that ruin my life, and I'm going to take ownership over healing that issue with me so I can have a healthy relationship and a healthy life, And so that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
It's such a fairy tale. I'm like amazed by it, how it's unraveling and stuff. So it's been a real pleasure. So the work that we do, because someone told me this week, live the work that you love. See, love the work that you love, the life that you live, and live the life that you love. And that's cool. And
right.
So these two are finding this out within each other, too, and they're learning. This man has said that he's, felt so unworthy to be loved, right? This is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So, which will end on our final, this is one of the final things, and there's some, probably a lot more, but worthiness, self-worthiness is super key. Loving yourself first, And, and because if you love yourself first, in a cool, holy way, looking for answers within instead of demanding them out on the outside and realizing who you are and who your creator is and how you are connected to all that is, then the great I am, the Buddha, whatever you want to say, that's the key right there to make this all work. And a lot of us, I know myself, one of my lessons I've had to learn is choosing to learn was worthiness. I know you've got your own worthiness issues that you've healed. And look at your life now. Look at mine. I've got a great life, guys. A lot better than the Shrew Sisters we started out a year or so ago, right?
That's right. We're better, aren't we?
Anyway.
We're no longer Shrews.
Yes, I know. Happy women. Underneath. Doing along, Anyway, I'm lucky to have you on the show and to co-host it with me, and I'm grateful for that. I want you to know, and I appreciate it. And the other thing
I
is,
enjoy it.
We have a lot of fun. I know you got a great relationship, and I'm excited to share that with everybody on the show, all the listeners that we have.
Believe it or not, it can happen for a shrew like me.
Anyway, that's cool.
He's only been with me like 2 weeks. 2 weeks we've lived together.
I know.
It's fresh. He may have something else to say. Maybe I should have him as on.
He'll be our guest next week. So, how wonderful is it to live or die? Wonderful.
Yeah, how wonderful is this,
guys? We'll get him to coach him on that one. Just wonderful. Life is a joy. There you go. It's all good. Anyway, I know you guys have moved in, and I know a couple years ago to be getting settled.
Yeah.
You're living where you'd like to live. I know you said you want to live on the mountain and write books.
I'm looking at them now. Yeah, beautiful mountain view right now, and it just snowed yesterday, and so there's lots of snow on the White Cap, you know, and it's just such a pretty view. So I'm where I want to be finally.
Good for you. I think that's wonderful. Which brings us to our next thing. You know, Di and I wrote this book, The Union There's a Law That Says He Has to Be Attracted to Me. And a lot of the prayers, the mantras, and the things that we're talking about, we go into a lot more depth in this. The questions to ask yourself, the questions to ask your mate, how to allow yourself to have a great mate. And you guys, read the book, because the book is wonderful. You can get it at angelcoaches.org. You can also get it on Amazon.com by just Googling Diane Bucci, or my name, Tari Abbott. And, you know, Bucci is spelled like Gucci. Tari Abbott is like Abbott and Costello. Can't miss it. So you can Google both of our names. And we're getting ready to start a new book about dating. And it's going to be fun and humorous as well, with a lot of humor in it as well. So be looking for that. And there's a lot more books coming out here, a lot more authors that we're going to be talking to, and some great subject matter on how to work with your kids, Crystal Indigo Rainbow Kids, how to work with your kids using a pendulum, using angel cards, how to work with yourself, doing the same thing, how to line the mind, body, and spirit up. So we've got a lot out there coming on board. So you guys be looking for that at angelcoaches.org. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/angelcoaches. Follow our show, Angel Coaches, or blogtalkradio.com/angelcoaches. Because when you follow the shows, when you like the pages, you're the first one to get things. You're the first one to be, I'm going to use this word, entitled to new stuff. Okay, so and this time entitlement is a good thing. So follow us, like us, and most of all, have a great now. We'll see you on Tuesday night, where it's all about manifesting, working with your angels, and angel connections and angel messages. All right, everybody, take care. Have a great now. Bye, Di. Enjoy your day.
Bye,
with your husband. Your guy. Anyway, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.